Joining us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline is our friend Justin Adams from CBS4 in Denver. Justin Adams TV on Twitter. And Justin, thanks for joining us. What was your first reaction to this back and forth, exciting, pass happy game?
I say this in the most sincere way, but Broncos are in trouble.
Bingo!
What are you in trouble?
I was just going to ask you about that, Justin, but you have already addressed the point.
Oh, man. Look, here's the reality. This is a passing league.
Yes.
And you're telling me that I don't care how many cornerbacks you have, what dime you want to put out there, how much you want to compare this to, you know, no-fly zone 2.0 and all the different things you have on defense. At the end of the day, your offense has to show up. And I don't think that offense, I mean, you guys tell me, is this offense going to show up? Is this offense going to be able to score at least, right? Will this offense score at least 24 points? That's the thing.
24.
They score at least 24 points. That's the biggest thing.
That'd be a big jump, but probably not enough of one to be a playoff team.
Right.
Isn't that your point? Even a jump from around 20 points a game to 24, they'll have to make a bigger jump than that.
100%. And sorry, guys, there was something that was going on my phone a little bit earlier that had me pausing. But, I mean, just the reality when I look at this team is that, okay, I know you have all the pieces. I know you talk about Jerry Jeudy and K.J. Hamler and all these other different guys, right? Noah Fant. And the list goes on and on. I don't want you to talk about what you have. I want you to talk about what I can rely on, what I can depend on. I know what I see from Dallas, and I know that Dak Prescott is going to get the ball to his guys on the outside. I know that for sure. I know he has a running game that they really didn't use tonight for some reason, but I know they have that as well. I'm looking at the Broncos offense, and I just see nothing but question marks. What do you have? Like, honestly, what do you have on offense that is going to show me that you're going to show up on Sundays every week? I don't know about that right now.
The catch is, you're right, it's the week in, week out part of it that's the equation. There certainly is enough talent on the roster. It obviously comes back to the quarterback position like it always does. But are the Broncos maybe failing to read the room a little bit, still believing we'll have a defense that can shut down anybody? Look, the Buccaneers have a defense that's good enough that the Cowboys, with Ezekiel Elliott, basically surrendered the running game. They didn't even make an attempt at it. That's how good the Tampa Bay defense is. They surrendered 29 points and almost lost.
Yeah. I mean, Sean, we've been talking all offseason for a while, and it's just, it's crazy to me to believe that in a league now that people specialize in spreading you out, well, they put your defense in dime and nickel situations all the time, that you believe that you're going to be able to stop a team from throwing the football 30 to 35 times and being successful in that. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, you may be able to stop teams in a couple of drives, but out of an average of 10 to 11 drives, you better believe they're going to score in at least 3 or 4 of them. And if they get into the end zone and your team can't get into the end zone, then what? What are you going to do? So that's just one of the things that the Broncos have to, I don't know. I mean, again, it goes back to Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, he's the quarterback now. He's the man now. He's the grown-up in the locker room. He has to be able to get this offense together and get it rolling.
I think Teddy Bridgewater will do exceedingly well this year, statistically and otherwise, between the 20s.
Yes.
The question comes, what happens, as you just alluded to, once they reach the red zone or even the goal line area, where last year, in a year that otherwise I think was better for Bridgewater than people tend to believe it was, but he was not good in the red zone. He was not good in the red zone. And he had 2 1,000-yard receivers. He was still not good in the red zone. The Broncos last year themselves were not good in the red zone. To me, that remains the biggest question on this offense, not whether it can move the ball, not whether it can average 350 yards a game or more than that, but how does that translate into points? And if they're relying on Brandon McManus too much, even against some of the more pedestrian teams on the schedule, they could be in closer games and maybe even the opener on Sunday. If they're taking 3 points and not 7, that's going to be a closer game than it should be, even if they win it. It's going to be more uncomfortable.
100%. And Cindy, at some point, you got to go and look at, okay, the last preseason game, you said, okay, you didn't have Courtland Sutton last year for the majority of the season. So at some point, you have to say, we have this big, tall wide receiver who, yes, he's coming back from a knee injury, but he could jump out the gym. And no one, no cornerback really in the league can jump with him. At some point, once you get inside the 20s, you have to say, make a play. That's what this season is going to be all about. It's going to be about who can make a play. Are we going to have Jerry Jeudy finally get himself in the end zone and be the guy that we saw
exactly.
at the last game of the year,
exactly.
take a simple route 90 yards to the end zone? Or are we seeing Jerry Jeudy against the Chargers in L.A. drop a couple of touchdown passes? That's what this season is going to be all about.
Are you more comfortable, Justin, we're talking to Justin Adams of CBS 4, about Bridgewater basically putting those guys in the right position to succeed? Is that really, more than anything, along with turnovers, what decided this quarterback battle?
Yes, because, and I said this earlier, I was at a panel talking about the Broncos, and one of the things that I said was, you finally have an adult in the room. I mean, and nothing against Drew Lock, but let's just call it what it is. Drew Lock's not the adult in the room that Teddy Bridgewater is. And sometimes it's just that simple. Hey, you need to go here. Here's one thing that we don't look at as fans, but you can really see, how about your splits? Are your splits correct so that the routes can be ran at the right depth? Those simple things could be the difference between you setting up for a Brandon McManus field goal or you setting up for a Brandon McManus extra point. Like, those are the simple things that the Broncos have to make sure they master this year.
Well, you just said it. Listen, with the great ones, and, you know, I think Brady's this way for sure. Manning was this way for sure. If you were 1 foot off in the route running area, you might as well be 10 yards off as far as they're concerned. There's no difference between being off by 10 yards and being off by 1 foot. You're wrong in both cases, and that disrupts timing, and it compromises efficiency. And I agree with you. I think Bridgewater is the most mature quarterback the Broncos have had since Manning retired, and I think he is capable of doing more than the Manning we saw in the last year and a half here. The first 2.5 years of Manning were some of the greatest quarterback play ever delivered in the history of the league. I think the greatest performance in the history of the Bronco franchise. But Bridgewater, what was John Fox's old line about Manning? He lifts all boats. He repeated it any number of times, right? And I think Bridgewater, not to the extent that Manning at his best did it, of course, but I think Bridgewater does that especially for a Jerry Jeudy.
100%. And I look at the Teddy Bridgewater. I would be happy with this type of guy. If we saw the Manning that came off the bench against the Chargers and led the Broncos to the Super Bowl,
yes,
I would be extremely happy with that.
That would be fine.
Yeah. I mean, and again, it was a simple, like, what did Peyton Manning really do when he came off the bench? He made a couple of throws, but what did he do? C.J. Anderson, go to the left side rather than run the ball to the right side. Like, I see the defense. We're going to have you do this. Like, those are the simple things that this team needs. Here's another thing, too, Sandy. And you know about this. You've been covering the NFL, covering sports for so long. When you have a quarterback that guys can just believe in, it changes everything. When they know that no matter what happens, we have a quarterback that's going to at least give us a chance to win the game, it changes everything. And that's what Teddy Bridgewater does. Now, again, I know you can look at what he did last year against Carolina. It was a crazy year. Things didn't go his way, right? Like, we know all about that. But at least you know you can walk into a game saying, hey, we at least have a shot to win this game. If the defense does what they're supposed to do, the offense would at least give you an opportunity to win the football game. That's all that you want if you're a Bronco fan this year.
Justin, obviously, you know, you're speaking from experience. You played tight end up at the University of Colorado Boulder, and Sandy was talking about Jerry Jeudy as well. Let me give you a quote from Jerry Jeudy just a couple weeks ago. It said, "I'm looking forward to working with Teddy. He tells you where he wants you to be and where he needs you to be. Having a guy like that to know what he wants, it really helps you as a receiver to know where to be for him to get you the ball." Now, Jeudy and Bridgewater had instant rapport. We saw that in the offseason. Is the fact that Teddy Bridgewater is the quarterback the reason that Jerry Jeudy is going to make a major leap in his second year?
No, it's the fact that he knows where he needs to be so that his quarterback can get him the ball and deliver him the football is the reason why he's going to succeed. So he doesn't have to worry about, when I turn my head and my hands are ready to catch the ball, is it on the way? Is it going to be low, high? Where is it going to be? He knows that, oh, he told me to take that sixth step on my out route, so I'm going to run it not at five, but let me run it at 5.5 or 6 so that I could be wide open. He told me to do that. And so now I'm not surprised that once I get out of my break, the ball is right there. I'm ready to catch the rock and go upfield. Those are the simple things, again, like we talked about, that are the difference between you having a 5-yard completion and you being able to take the ball, turn up field, and make it a 15-yard completion. And so those are the small things, again, that this offense needs in the worst way. Again, the Broncos need the running game, too. Like, don't get me wrong. We don't want to see Teddy Bridgewater throwing a football 35, 40 times. That's not a recipe for
probably success. Not every week. Offense. That's right.
Right. But he's capable of doing that. We don't want to see it every week. But you do want to see that running game be effective as well. And the best way to have a running game effective is to have the defense have to set up with 2 linebackers, 4 down linemen, and a nickel defense, and you only have 6 in the box. So
that's,
you can run the box.
That's the idea. Hey, before we let you run, how are your Buffs going to fare against Texas A&M on Saturday afternoon at the stadium?
I just want the game close at half.
All right. That'd be nice.
Just to be honest, right?
That'd be all right.
And you know what? And I know we got to run, but I want to ask you guys this question because this is something that actually angers me a little bit. In the sense of, I remember CU will play games like this, and you knew they're going to give the other team all the heck they can get. Now I'm looking up, and I'm like, I see 3 stars being recruited here to CU, and I'm like, what happened to the blue chippers, to all these guys who you knew were going to show up on Saturdays being in black and gold? Like, what happened to CU being one of the top tier programs? I have an idea what happened, but I'm just trying to figure out, like, why can't they turn the table anymore and be that type of program?
Well, stability would help. And if they can get going that way, at least under Carl Durrell, there's optimism.
You go back far enough to know that Durrell has been a fairly prominent person around here, but I mean, I thought he did a heck of a job last year in his first year. And I think for the first time in at least 15 years, we don't have to worry about a coach maybe having a pretty good year and then bailing out.
Right.
Which I think is basically what Mel Tucker took the opportunity to do. And maybe Hawkins and McIntyre should have done, almost did, and probably both think, after their first good years, and in Hawkins' case, really the only good year, they should have gotten out too. But your question is a good one, and I think that's why, even if they don't win Saturday, if it's competitive against clearly one of the top 15 football programs in the country,
yeah.
I don't think there's much doubt that A&M year in and year out is what you're saying that CU used to be, and perhaps can be again. We're not sure. But I think if they make a good showing on Saturday, even if they don't win, that's a win. I don't think it's going to be a UCLA-LSU kind of deal. And I'm not sure that LSU is all that good anyway. But the Pac-12 as a whole, after Washington got beat by Montana, they need a good showing, if not a winning effort.
Yeah.
By a team like CU against Texas A&M.
Yeah, the only way that I see the Buffs winning this game, and I'd be very honest, I think Vegas is very kind with 17 points being the spread.
I agree with that.
They're very, very kind. Yeah. Jared Broussard has to rush for 200, 250.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Against a Texas A&M D-line that has a first-round draft pick on the defensive line, I don't see it, but again, I've seen crazier things in college football. You know my rule. This is my rule when it gets to college sports. I never trust anybody 18 to 23 years old.
There you go.
So anything can happen.
Yeah, we were all one of those once. I wouldn't have trusted us either. He is Justin Adams. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, Justin Adams TV, and catch everything he's putting together over at CBS 4 Reason Anchor, and also a lot of the really interesting stories put together on the website, too, over there for CBS 4. Thanks for the time, Justin. Looking forward to catching you next week.
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure. See you guys next week.
Thank you, Justin Adams. Joining us on the Johnson Auto Plaza
Hotline.
He's
one of the bright young talents in our business.
He really is. He really is. And he's probably right with saying he was generous 17 points.